gave him a look, but she obeyed Riken's orders and ran to safety, leaving Thane alone. Sienna was alive. She was alive. She was there, and he had to get to her before she killed them both. Thane dashed for the farthest corner of the auxiliary bridge, where his dusty memories of large vessel design told him he'd find a repair shaft. Sure enough, one of the metal mesh panels pulled away, revealing a plain, cold tunnel leading upward. He slammed his hand against the switch by the door, summoning the anti-grav platform that could take him to any deck he wanted within moments. When it appeared, he jumped on, then reeled as he grabbed for its safety handle. Thane had never actually ridden one of those things. They were more unstable than his classes had made them sound. A few more centimeters and he would have slipped from the platform and plummeted several kilometers to his death. One deep breath and then he punched in the code that would take him to the deck where he could reach the main bridge. As he flew upward at top speed, the gusts of air yanked at his helmet until he pulled it off and let it fall. Thane tried to get a sense of how much time had elapsed. 3 minutes? Four? By now, the Inflictor's engines didn't have to do any more work. Jakku's gravity would take care of the rest. Even now, the planet was pulling the Star Destroyer down toward its doom. Come on, he thought, gripping the safety handle even more tightly. Come on! Finally, he reached the right deck, kicked in the security plate there, and emerged into a corridor. After a moment's disorientation, he could have smacked himself for his idiocy. Of course the main bridge wouldn't be so accessible. Thane ran for the doors, then skidded to a stop as they failed to open for him. Sienna! He shouted, banging his fist against the metal. That was only to take out his frustration, because he knew she couldn't hear him through the blast doors to the main bridge. Not only were they too thick for sound to carry, but they also couldn't be destroyed by blasters or lasers, not even by a thermal detonator. She had sealed out every possible invader, including him. But there were only so many ways for a captain to seal the blast doors. Thane realized he knew which way Sienna would choose. He'd heard her explain once. She would use the captain's word method. Now the blast doors were permanently shut to anyone who didn't know the word or phrase she had chosen to lock herself in. He leaned his forehead against the metal and put his hand to the manual entry panel. An automated voice said, "State the password." Leaning down to the speaker, Thane whispered, "Look through my eyes." Chapter 28. Sienna bent over the navigation station, one hand splayed across her aching abdomen, the other resting on the controls. The AutoNav system had repeatedly attempted to override her commands, but she'd finally managed to shut it down. Now all she had to do was wait. She stepped back and sank into her chair. On the viewscreen ahead, the stars had been erased. Nothing remained but the sandy surface of Jakku. With every second, the view of the world below became clearer. Sienna watched shadows expand into deserts and mountains. Sensors began to flare red, warning her of atmosphere breach. She ignored them. At one point, her vision blurred. When she lifted her hand to her face, her fingers came away wet. Sienna blinked quickly to clear her eyes. When her end came, she would not flinch. She wouldn't turn away. It was the last experience she would ever have, and she intended to be fully present for every single moment, even the pain. To die with honor, no one could ask for more. The bridge's blast doors slid open. Sienna jumped to her feet. By instinct, she reached for her blaster, but no Star Destroyer captain carried one on the bridge. How could anyone have gotten in? Then, she saw Thane. The one person in the rebellion, in the entire galaxy, who could have guessed the right words to say, Sienna thought in a daze, and of course he's here. Maybe she was dreaming or hallucinating. Her brain had conjured up an image of Thane so she wouldn't believe she had to die alone. He even wore a mourning band around one bicep, grieving like one of the kindred for a tragedy that had yet to come. But then he breathed out in relief, a sound so subtle and yet familiar that it erased all doubt. This was real. This was happening. Sienna. Thane began toward her, then stopped when she took a step back. He paused and lifted his hands as if to show he held no weapon. but she could see the blaster strapped to his side. "It's okay. I'm going to get you out of here." "I'm not leaving." The words seemed to come from a very great distance, as if she were hearing them instead of speaking them. "I'll stay with my ship. You know we can have a long talk about honor and duty later. Right now we need to get the hell off this thing before we're in full-on atmospheric entry." Escape pods could handle planetary landings, but launching within the atmosphere was hazardous. Already the temperature readings outside the hull were climbing dramatically. Sienna felt her pulse quicken with fear, not for herself. "Thane, go to the nearest escape pod!" He lifted his chin, like the stubborn, prideful boy he'd been so long ago. "Not without you." Anger flared in her. "You realize I ought to arrest you right now? Or shoot you? We're kind of outside the regulations here already." Thane held out his hand to her, but she took another step away from him. Less than 2 meters separated them now. To either side of them, on the countless view screens and sensors, alarm lights flashed and scenes of battle and bloodshed flickered. "You have to go! Don't you understand I'm trying to save your life? I'm trying to save yours!" He had looked at her that pleadingly, that desperately, when he had first tried to talk her into deserting the Empire with him. For Thane, perhaps, nothing had changed in the 5 years since. She felt so much older, so much sadder, hollowed out. But he kept standing there, his hand outstretched, believing he could rescue them both. "Come on, Sienna, we don't have much time!" Thane didn't see that there was no time left for her. None at all. What have they done to her? Sienna stood before him, so thin that she looked as if she could be crushed in a man's fist. Her uniform hung on her, and that combined with the frantically blinking warning lights going off all around them made the scene seem more like some ugly parody of an Imperial bridge than the real thing. What scared Thane most, though, was the blankness in her eyes. Nothing of Sienna's spirit shone through. He saw only anger and despair. But his Sienna was still in there. He knew that only because she wanted to die rather than keep serving the Empire. "Listen to me," Thane said, trying hard to sound calm even as the Inflictor shuddered with its first real brush with Jakku's atmosphere. The ride would only get rougher. "You don't owe the Empire a damned thing. They don't deserve your loyalty, and they definitely don't deserve your life. You don't even know what loyalty means." "The hell I don't! Sienna, if I weren't loyal to you, would I be here?" The ship shuddered again. Thane stumbled slightly to one side, and Sienna had to grab her chair to remain upright. She shouted, "Thane, you have to go! You have to get in an escape pod now! I won't leave you here!" He realized it could come to that. Dying by Sienna's side, here, today, rather than escaping with his own life. Thane wanted to survive. As much as he loved Sienna, he knew from the past year that he was capable of going on after her death, even healing and finding peace. But he didn't want to live as the man who had left her behind to die. He repeated, "I won't leave you! Please!" Sienna had begun to shake. "Please don't make me responsible for your death. All I ever asked in all those battles was not to be the one who killed you. I asked for it to be you. Because we're bound, always, you and I, in life or in death. You know it as well as I do. That's why we have to get off this ship together." Sienna remained silent for a long moment. The ship tilted to one side, artificial gravity warring with the real thing, tugging them toward Jakku. On the view screen, the image of the planet's surface slowly swirled. The ship had begun spiraling down. Then she took one step toward him, and another. Thane could have wept with relief. "Good, that's right, come with me." She stood before him at last. Their eyes met, and Sienna punched him in the gut, hard. As Thane sprawled on the floor, Sienna grabbed his blaster from its holster. She stood above him, and he stared at her, trying to catch the breath she'd knocked out of him. "Is that it?" he said. "You're going to shoot me?" "Of course not," she said. "I'm going to stun you and drag you to an escape pod myself. But before that, you know I'm only doing this to save you. Don't... Thane kicked her in the leg so firmly that she stumbled back more than a meter before falling on her back. The blaster skidded across the tilted floor, sliding far away from them both, and Sienna had to struggle to get back to her feet. He was up too, in fighting stance, blue eyes blazing. You want to play this rough? Fine, we'll play rough. One memory flashed in her mind of how they'd met back when they were children, fighting for each other. It looked like they were going to die the same way. Sienna ran at him, and he couldn't dodge her well enough to keep her from tackling him. As she slammed his head back onto the mesh floor, she shouted, "Get your rebel ass off my bridge!" Thane threw her off, pushing her sideways. Even as she rolled against the wall, he said, "I'm going to rescue you whether you like it or not!" Didn't he understand? Didn't he see? Why was he trying to steal her one chance to escape this hell and die with her honor? It was as if Thane had never known her at all. She kicked savagely at him. The heel of her boot caught his jaw and sent him reeling. Sienna scrambled to her feet, which was when she caught a glimpse of the viewscreen. The image of Jakku was terrifyingly close, but it began to blur and blacken. The outside sensors were burning off from the heat of atmospheric entry. The windows were now brilliant orange, cutting off their view as the ship was sealed in flame. The warring factions in the atmosphere and on the ground would be able to see the inflictor gashing a streak of fire across the sky like a meteor. Thane grabbed Sienna's leg and pulled her to the floor. The impact of her fall sent new pain stabbing into her gut wound. Even as Sienna gasped for breath, Thane seized the advantage, pinning both her wrists with his own. "Just come with me," he said, panting. "You have to come with me now." She brought her leg up to knee him in the side and freed her hands. Sienna wanted to tell him to stop being an idiot, to run for a pod now, because it would be too late soon if it wasn't already. But all she could say was, "Let me go!" Then she brought her fists together and swung them upward into his jaw. If she had to knock him out the hard way, so be it. Even as pain splintered through his face, Thane saw the viewscreen blur and go black. They were out of time. So he did something he would never, ever have believed he could do. He hit Sienna back. But Sienna was a small woman, and he was a large man. The same blow to the jaw that had made him stagger sideways laid her flat. Guilt lashed him, but he couldn't stop, not now. She shoved herself upward. Her shoulder hit his midsection under his ribs and stole his breath. As they both crashed into a control panel, he thought, "Anyone watching would think we're trying to kill each other, not save each other." Power began to blink off and on as more components caught fire on entry. He heard a deep, terrible groan, the massive metal framework of the Star Destroyer shifting as the heat hit the melting point. Through the few small windows, he could see nothing of Jakku or the sky, only flame. Sienna pushed him away from her just as the floor tilted again. Now they were both sprawling, unable to stay upright. Thane scrambled to get a handhold on one of the chairs, a strut, anything that would help him up, when he saw a flash of black metal sliding along the wall. He threw himself at it. Even as he rolled, he heard Sienna's boots on the deck as she somehow got back on her feet. She ran toward him, the thumping of her steps faster, just as Thane got the blaster in his hands. One flick of the thumb, set to stun, and now! He glimpsed 1 second of horror on Sienna's face before the blue bolt hit her. She collapsed to the floor so heavily that for an instant, Thane feared he'd accidentally set the blaster to kill. But when he crawled across the tilting floor to reach her, he saw her chest rise and fall. "I'll ask forgiveness later," he whispered. On his knees, Thane managed to roll Sienna over and pull her body over his shoulders. He tasted blood as he staggered to his feet and headed for the nearest escape pod. His breakneck ride through the service tunnels had refreshed Thane's memory of large vessel design class, so he was pretty sure he knew where the pods were. What he didn't know was whether or not he could even get one to launch. If the metal clamps had melted in the heat of atmospheric entry, the escape pod would be useless, except as a place to die. And of course, the fleeing Imperials and escaping New Republic soldiers might have launched all the pods already. "Go, go, 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 go!" he chanted inside his head, as he stumble-ran through the corridors of the Star Destroyer. The first pod location he reached showed empty. That one had been shot into space long ago, but just as Thane felt panic clutching at his mind, he got to a second location and saw an escape pod still there, waiting. He hit the control panel with his knee, and the doors spiraled open. It was one of the smaller pods, but two people would fit. Thane dumped Syana inside. As he crawled through the entry tube to join her, the lights suddenly went out. He was in pitch blackness, save for the scarlet firelight from the small portal in the escape pod, which flickered across Syana's fallen body. The power was gone. Would the doors close? Would the pod launch? If the explosive latches had melted instead of blowing, they were sunk. Thane slammed his hand against the launch switch. He'd never seen anything more beautiful than the doors spiraling shut. As they locked, a terrible deep groan shuddered through the ship, like the dying roar of some massive beast. Then the pod launched, shooting them away from the inflictor. The jolt knocked him against the pod's curved wall, and Syana rolled to the side. Thane crawled down beside her so he could brace her body against his. The limited repulsor lifts and acceleration compensators in an escape pod meant they had a rough ride ahead. He wasn't sure the thing's landing capacities would even work that close to the ground. Through the tiny porthole, he saw only brief flashes of blue, then gold, then blue, then gold. Sky and sand tumbling over and over. Impact could be only seconds away. He curled around Syana, buried his face in the curve of her neck, and held on for the crash. The pod hit the ground with a severe jolt, then again and again. It was skipping across the sand, Thane realized. He and Syana were jostled against the wall, never hard enough to kill them, but always hard enough to hurt. Finally, one impact stuck, slowing them down bit by bit as they tunneled through Jakku's desert and very gradually came to a stop. "Are we safe? I think we're..." The pod jarred forward into the air so hard that Thane first believed another explosive charge had been set off. But the deep roar he heard told him the truth. The inflictor had just crashed into the planet, and their escape pod was being thrown forward along with a tsunami of dust and sand. He wrapped his arms more tightly around Syana as the pod tumbled over and over. The small window showed nothing but red-orange sand. What if they were buried? What if the already battered pod could take no more and burst open? He didn't want them to smother down here, buried alive. But slowly, the pod rolled to a stop again, this time apparently for good. After a long second, Thane allowed himself to believe they'd survived the landing. But what if they were deep underground? Would his sensor beacon even be able to signal a New Republic rescue? He switched on the sensor, waited a long moment, then saw the indicator turn green. Signal sending. "We made it," he whispered to Syana, who lay unconscious against his shoulder. Maybe in her sleep, her subconscious would hear him and subtly let her know everything was going to be all right. A small line of blood marked a cut on her forehead. Thane untied the mourning band from his arm to use as a makeshift bandage, staring down at her in wonder. "Of all the ships in the galaxy, I boarded hers," he thought. Maybe. Maybe Syana and Luke Skywalker and the other traditionalists were right about the Force. Maybe there was some power that bound the galaxy together and took you unfailingly to your fate. The Force must have guided him to her so he could save her life and they could go on together. It felt like all the cynicism and anger of his old life had finally melted away. He lived under the authority of leaders who were fair and just. He had fought a noble war and was on the verge of winning. He served alongside people he both liked and respected. Syana had been freed from the shackles binding her to the Empire, and from now on, she had no limits. Neither of them did. How was it that a guy like him, without hope, without faith, had found his way here? He leaned his forehead against hers. Despite the painful bruises swelling on his face and body, despite the blood still seeping into his mouth, despite the terrible shape Sienna was in and the stifling heat of the escape pod. He thought that might be the single most joyful moment of his life. Thane heard sifting sounds above and lifted his face to see the escape pod doors shiver. Then they slid open, sending a small cascade of sand streaming down onto their feet and revealing a New Republic search team silhouetted against the bright sun. "Am I glad to see you guys?" He lifted Sienna in his arms. "Help me out, will you?"
"Sure thing, Corona 4.
One member of the team leaned forward to pull Sienna through the opening to freedom. Thane crawled out just after and flopped down in the sand beside her. The medic leaned down.
"Do you need assistance?"
"I'd take care of her first," Thane said. He expected the medic to begin examining Sienna's injuries. Instead, all the other team members pulled their blasters as the leader kneeled down with a pair of magnetic binders for her wrists.
"What the..."
The words died in Thane's mouth as he realized the New Republic soldiers were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. They were capturing a high-ranking Imperial officer who would have to be tried for her crimes. He'd thought he was rescuing her, that the Force had miraculously intervened to protect them both. All Thane had done was deliver her to prison. Chapter 29. Sienna stood in her cell, hands clasped in front of her. The energy field that separated her from the rest of the prison was almost perfectly transparent, tinting the world beyond slightly silver. She had not bothered looking out during most of her captivity. At times, she'd been so depressed that she had lacked the will even to get out of her jailhouse bunk. Today, however, she had a visitor. She knew Thane by the heavy tread of his boots alone, or maybe that was only wishful thinking. Sienna had strained at every small noise outside the entire day, even though he hadn't been due until this hour. But this time, it was him. Thane smiled when he saw her, though she could see the stricken look in his eyes. Did he feel guilty for caging her like a bird? Good, she thought. But probably he was more shaken by the sight of her standing there, thin and plain in her prison dress, which was very nearly the light brown color of her skin. "Autumn leaf," he said, more to himself than to her, then recovered himself. "Sienna, thanks for finally agreeing to see me." She simply nodded. There was no point in telling him that she'd relented after just 1 week, only to be told that he'd already shipped out on a mission. That had been a moment of weakness. Now she was finally ready to talk. "We have so much to say," she said. "It's hard to know where to begin. Tell me why you didn't allow me to visit before." Sienna turned her head, unwilling to look him in the eyes as she said this. "I wish you had left me aboard the Inflictor."
"If you're waiting for me to apologize for saving your life, you'll be waiting a while."
After a brief silence, he added, "But I understand why you feel that way." "Do you?" "You wanted to do your duty and escape the Empire at the same time. Suicide was the only way to do that, to balance the scales. But you shouldn't measure yourself against the Empire. You're worth more than the rest of it put together." Sienna glanced up at him then, touched despite herself. He looked even more handsome than he had in her daydreams. His hair had darkened slightly, more red than blonde. Someone who had not seen him since his childhood might not recognize him now. But she thought she would always know him by his step, or his flight, or his eyes. Something about his eyes never changed. "You do understand," she said quietly. "But I wish you'd respected my decision."
"You're glad to be alive, though, right?"
Thane stepped closer to the barrier as he added, more hesitantly, "Aren't you?" For a moment, Sienna couldn't answer. Finally, she managed to say, "It's too early to tell." He didn't seem to have a reply to that. She didn't blame him. There were times she truly wished she had died rather than face this shame. At other moments, however, Sienna found herself enjoying the smallest pleasures of existence, the only ones available inside her cell. And then she felt she hadn't been ready to die just yet. Looking at Thane now was one of those moments. She said, "It's hard. Everything I worked for my whole life has been destroyed,
Everything I ever fought for is a lie. Not everything. In the end, you fought for me. His smile was crooked. That's gotta be worth something. Her throat tightened against tears she refused to shed. That's the only part still worth anything. Sayana, it was the perfect trap, you know? She had to clench her fist hard enough for her nails to dig into her palm. Focusing on the pain kept her from breaking down completely. I was so dedicated to honor that I became a war criminal. There's more than one kind of trap. For a second there, I'd convinced myself that we'd fixed the whole galaxy. Truth and justice had prevailed. So on and so forth. Even started believing in the Force of all things. He laughed at his own folly. So I had enough hope to take that impossible chance and come after you. But it turned out I saved you only for this. And now you're trapped here, where we can't even touch. Stop. Please stop. Sayana hid her face from him. She could tell he'd turned slightly away. For a few moments, they both remained silent, struggling for control. Sayana had thought her own sorrow was too much to bear, but now she had to endure Thane's as well. It was too much for either of them, and yet they had no choice. When one was wounded, the other bled. He was a part of her, forever. She managed to slow her breaths, regain her composure. By the time she lifted her head again, Thane had calmed himself, too. So, are you all right? They're treating you well? He glanced around her small cell as if inspecting it. She had to admit the truth. Yes, they give me hollow novels and simple games. I can claim up to 7 hours of outdoor exercise a week, under supervision, of course. But the doctors agree I shouldn't do anything too strenuous until I've healed some more. Her hand stole across her abdomen, unconsciously shielding it. He winced. You know, I would have been more careful with you if I'd realized how badly you'd been injured. Yes, I know. Though perhaps that would have been the death of both of them, because it had taken that much force for him to overcome her. She still felt strangely proud of that. Anyway, I sleep a lot. The bunk here isn't much, but it's reasonably comfortable. I've been treated humanely by the Rebellion. The new Republic officers. She brushed a loose coil of hair away from her face, self-conscious about her next admission. I had expected interrogation by torture. The Empire had taught me to think that was standard procedure. All any prisoner could expect. Instead, I got medical treatment and information about my legal rights. Have you told them anything voluntarily? Thane hastened to add. I'm not pressuring you. I'm not here on behalf of the New Republic. And I never will be, all right? You never have to doubt whether they sent me in here to play you. Sayana had harbored dark thoughts about that very scenario late at night as she lay in her bunk. But now she could honestly reply, I believe you. Visibly relieved, he continued, I asked only because, you know, they'd cut you a break if you did. As if that could ever persuade her. My oath still holds, Thane. While I admit that I see the New Republic in a different light now, I am not turning traitor. Nor do I accept their rule. From what I've heard, the war's still raging on. Chaos has returned to the galaxy. It's the normal disorder of planets trying to get their governments back together after years of... Thane sighed. Skip it. We both know each other's lines. There's no point anyway, she said. They're not going to cut me a break, no matter what I tell them. I'm a war criminal, remember? The New Republic will make me pay for my service to the Empire. Maybe that was no less than she deserved. Thane stared at her for a long moment. Then, to her astonishment, he began to smile and shake his head. You're going to get out of here pretty soon, even if you don't talk. If you did share some intel, I bet you wouldn't even have to stand trial. What are you talking about? Her appointed defender had shown her the list of charges against her. It spooled down several screen links and elaborated with great detail her service at the battles of Hoth, Endor, and Jakku. She could not deny that she was responsible for every single item on that list. We both know I'm guilty. The New Republic will want to make an example of me. They'll need to prove that law and order prevail precisely because it's a new law and a new order. The lines have been redrawn and I'm on the wrong side. At last, she spoke her worst fear out loud. I might be in this jail cell the rest of my life. We've had this argument before too, you know. He leaned closer to the energy field. My idealistic phase is over. I've remembered how the world really works, and the thing is, Sayana, things fall apart. Too many people had to work for the Empire for them all to be jailed. That's literally hundreds of billions of people, not even counting the troops who vanished with the rest of the Imperial Starfleet. You think the New Republic can punish every single one? They'll free the clerks and the cleaners. Not a captain of a Star Destroyer. But Thane was unconvinced. You have useful talents. That's one of the things the New Republic is going to start looking for, sooner rather than later. Plus, you have friends in high places. Or I do, anyway. And I intend to have a long talk with every single one who could help you. I don't want you to ask for special treatment on my behalf, she protested. Too bad, he said. Because the deck is always stacked, Sayana. All we can do is stack it in our favor. Sayana remembered the first time they'd had this out. They'd been in a cantina in Valencia, the fates dividing them as never before, and they'd argued and pleaded until they'd finally broken down and made love. It felt like another lifetime. Lying next to him, pulling him close, yet it felt like yesterday. She could never forget how she felt about Thane that day, and she never wanted to. So here we are again, she said with a rueful smile, debating order versus chaos. Maybe fate will finally settle the question for us. If you're right, then, yeah, you have some rough years ahead. But if I'm right, and the New Republic chooses freedom over vengeance, you'll be out of here in no time. Even through the silver shimmer of the energy field, she could see the tenderness in his eyes. Either way, you know I'll be waiting for you, right? Sayana would have given anything to hold him then, even as she said, you shouldn't. You would if I were inside that cell. Yes, I would. Slowly, she raised her hand, flattening her palm against the edge of the energy field. Thane did the same. They mirrored each other, almost touching, but forever apart. In the month since the Battle of Jakku, the Empire has attempted no further large-scale offenses. Sources report all Imperial vessels within the core and inner rim staying within the boundaries defined by treaty. The woman in the news hollow smiled as she continued. A few prominent members of the Provisional Senate have speculated that the New Republic's war with the remnants of the Empire has finally come to an end, and that a final surrender may be imminent. However, in her address today, the Chancellor warned that all planets should remain on high alert, and the New Republic Starfleet should be kept on a war footing for the foreseeable future. Here to discuss both sides of this issue are... Nash snapped off the rebel propaganda from the Hosnian system. He'd already learned all he needed to know, namely that the so-called New Republic believed the Empire beaten. Fools. Let them grow fat and lazy, he thought. Let them congratulate themselves. Let them go slack. Commander Nash Windrider left his personal office and walked out into the main docking bay of his new ship, the attack cruiser Garot. Every subordinate straightened at the sound of Nash's boots on the metal floor. Not one of them turned away from his or her work to so much as glance in Nash's direction. Good. Already he'd managed to re-establish proper discipline. For someone who had spent years assigned to a Star Destroyer, an attack cruiser posting might have seemed like a step down, but the Empire had so few Star Destroyers left. He was flight commander on a strategically important vessel, which was a step toward eventually receiving his own command. Nash took pride in readying the Garot for the next stage of war, the next assault. The one the rebels wouldn't see coming. He strode between the long lines of TIE fighters, all of which were being refitted with stronger weapons of new design. These would be able to punch through energy shields and starfighter hulls with a single blast, which meant the one advantage starfighters had over TIEs, their shielding, would vanish. Changes like this could win the war. Rather odious to think that Ved Foslow had invented these weapons. Nash had always assumed Ved's rise through the ranks was solely due to his father's interference, yet it turned out his former roommate had some aptitude after all. No doubt his adolescent arrogance had become completely insufferable in adulthood. Nash sighed as he reminded himself that of his two roommates at the academy, Ved Foslow was by far the least offensive. To think that Thane Kyrell might have survived the war, might even be out there now smugly celebrating the rebellion's temporary advantage, it sickened him. Why should Sienna have died while Thane lived? But you couldn't look to the fates for justice. You had to take retribution into your own hands. The Empire had taught him that.
Sir! Commander Windrider, sir?
Nash's assistant had begun to follow on his heels as usual.
A question, if I may.
You may, Lieutenant Kyrell. Dalvin Kyrell stood before him, data tablet in his hands, visibly nervous. He had no idea of his brother's role in the rebellion. Nash had elected to keep that truth from him and treat this Kyrell as an individual. It seemed only fair. However, taken on his own merits, Dalvin was weak and toadying, capable of no more than fulfilling the basic tasks he was given. Fortunately, duty required no more of the flight commander's assistant.
I wanted to ask about the list of officers you nominated for top commendations.
Was Dalvin going to ask why he wasn't on it? If he did, Nash intended to tell him.
What is your question?
You nominated Captain Sienna Ree for the Distinguished Medal of Imperial Honor.
I think you meant the more common Medal of Honor.
I know precisely what I meant, Lieutenant Kyrell. Nash enjoyed speaking that surname with a slight sneer. The Distinguished Medal of Imperial Honor is the highest medal we can bestow, and I can think of no one more deserving. To have remained aboard her ship when the autodestruct had failed, to personally crash it into the planet's surface to keep the vessel from enemy hands at the cost of her own life, Captain Sienna Ree deserves to be remembered.
Yes, sir, Dalvin said weakly, but he continued. I only meant nominating someone for that honor is a big step. One others might comment upon as a sign of factionalism.
Usually, yes. In this case, however, I have it on good authority that a number of captains, generals, and admirals intend to nominate her as well. Even Grand Moff Rand may do so. The Empire endures its inner conflicts. But on this, we all agree. The late Captain Ree died a hero.
Absolutely,
Dalvin hastened to add.
Such a terrible way to die.
Terrible? I would call it glorious. We all wish she was still with us, but that doesn't change the fact that there is no finer fate than to die for the Empire. I hope I shall get the chance myself someday.
Of course, sir. Yes, sir.
Dalvin slunk away. Thane had always said Dalvin made fun of Sienna when they were children, mocking her poverty and her old-fashioned ways, as if everyone on Jellucan weren't a backwater bumpkin. Sometimes when Nash remembered that and thought of Dalvin ridiculing a young, helpless Sienna, he wanted to find an appropriate suicide mission for the man. But he could no longer assume Thane had been telling the truth. Apparently, Thane Kyrell was a master deceiver. Nash walked toward the open mouth of the docking bay. Against his skin, he felt the faint tingle of the energy shield that maintained atmospheric pressure, a sign he was standing too close. He remained near the edge anyway, the better to behold the sight before him. Within the massive cloud of the Quel'Yuhan Nebula, hidden deep inside the glowing trails of ionized gas that confounded enemy sensors, awaited the Imperial Starfleet. While the rebel pundits confidently predicted the Empire's disappearance and surrender, believed them divided against each other and helpless, they were instead rejoining forces and growing stronger than before. In Nash's opinion, it had taken them too long to coalesce as a united front again. Infighting had allowed the rebels to gain territory they could not have hoped to contest otherwise. Now, however, the Imperial Starfleet had re-established a hierarchy of command. They had developed a long-term strategy. The old factionalism had been swept away, and at last they stood together, united again. He liked to think Sienna Ree had something to do with that. Perhaps that was only sentiment, but there was no denying that her selfless act had inspired them all.
You reminded us what discipline truly means, Nash thought. You reminded us that no price is too great to pay for victory. Before him, in the blue and violet glow of the nebula, he could see at least 10 Star Destroyers and even more light cruisers. Each housed countless TIE fighters, to be manned largely by the new conscripts. Training had to be faster and harsher these days, but the pilots were shaping up nicely. The Imperial Starfleet might not be as large as it had once been, but Nash thought they might emerge even stronger. And this time, they would stop at nothing until the rebellion had been permanently crushed. Thane and the others would pay for forcing Sienna to sacrifice her own life. They'd pay for everything. Nash whispered, "You will be avenged when the Empire rises again." This is Pierce Cravens. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Journey to Star Wars, Lost Stars, by Claudia Gray. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson, executive producer Aaron Blank. Journey to Star Wars, Lost Stars is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.